Paul, you are the new editor-in-chief of the American Spectator, and we're going to talk more about that in just a couple of minutes. But for those in our audience who maybe have not heard of the Spectator, maybe have read it from time to time, tell us a bit about how the American Spectator got its start and what it means to the conservative movement in this nation.
Thanks, Loman. I mean, the American Spectator is one of the oldest conservative publications in the country, longest running. In fact, really the only competitor there would be National Review. And National Review was founded by William F. Buckley Jr. in the mid-1950s. Buckley coming out of Yale, writing books like God and Man at Yale. And about 10 years after that, so 1967, back September 1967 to be exact, that's when the first edition came out, a college student by the name of R. Emmett Terrell Jr., who goes by Bob, so the R is for Robert, but R. Emmett Terrell Jr., that's kind of his signature, that's his pen name, and his real name. And he founded the American Spectator on the campus of Indiana University in Bloomington. So it's very much a kind of, I think it's very telling, Loman, because it very much is kind of reflective of its Midwest roots and also had a real campus flavor. I mean, the guys who came out of the American Spectator truly were college kids and kind of almost campus clowns in a way, but also very serious intellectuals, very well read, not just in politics and culture, but also in literature. I mean, it's going to be no surprise when about 20 years later, two decades later, when Spectator's really spreading its wings in Washington, D.C., that people like P.J. O'Rourke of Rolling Stone, you know, people of Rolling Stone, National Lampoon, but conservative, start flocking to the American Spectator. With the exception of National Review, no other conservative publication out there has had this run of nonstop in publication for over 50 years running than the American Spectator.
Let's talk a bit about the impact of the American Spectator here, Paul, because over its 50-year period, the impact has been rather consistent and was particularly at a peak, I believe, during the Reagan administration.
Yeah, it was. And I would argue that the peak really was the 1990s during the Clinton years. In fact, that peak can be quantified. The magazine hit a circulation of 350,000 in print, which, as you know, that's a big deal. I don't think National Review ever exceeded 100,000. So it really took off when R. Emmett Terrell Jr. and friends went after the Clintons with some extraordinary exposés. I mean, it was the American Spectator that broke all those stories about Bill Clinton's philandering in Arkansas, the trooper gate, the trooper stories, the Arkansas State Troopers, Paula Jones. In fact, it's the Spectator's reporting in that period that directly leads to the impeachment of Bill Clinton in December 1998. So you were probably going to ask me about that. I probably threw you off a little bit. But to back up to the 1980s, even though the peak of circulation is in the 90s, I would agree with you that it really hit stride in the 1980s. And R. Emmett Terrell Jr. at that point would have been, he was born in December 1943. So he's barely 40 years old when they come to town in the early 1980s. And Ronald Reagan, who was a big fan of the American Spectator, pretty much every major conservative read the American Spectator, even reached out to Terrell, had Terrell to the White House, went to Terrell's house, had dinner at Terrell's house, brought a bunch of White House people with him. He reached out to Terrell at one point in the early 80s to see if they could work together to really launch a conservative youth movement that would be spearheaded by the American Spectator. And Terrell was the right guy for it because coming up through his publication, George Will started at the American Spectator. Bill Kristol started there. Practically all of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, people like Bill McGurn, Malcolm Gladwell started at the American Spectator, Fred Barnes, Greg Gutfeld, who's now with Fox News. I guess he was a little bit later. He interned at the American Spectator in the early 1990s. In fact, stayed at Bob Terrell's house. So all of these kind of really young, kind of hot writers, and I must add here too, and a lot of people listen to this already know what I'm talking about here, especially with people like P.J. O'Rourke, witty writers, funny writers, a great sense of humor, they were attracted to Spectator, and they made it not just a timely, cutting edge political, cultural, intellectual magazine, but really a magazine that you could pick up and laugh, be entertained by. And for conservatives, they could always use a good laugh as they watch the world and the culture around them.
Well, Washington always gives us a few good laughs, Paul, because otherwise we're going to cry over what happens.
Right, right.
So as this has proceeded, of course, nowadays print publications are less, but the American Spectator has a robust web presence as well, does it not?
It does. And so the print edition, it's been continuously going since 1967, although at one point it was monthly, and now it's not. So we'll put out one or two magazines a year, but that's a very conscientious effort to stay in print, whereas a lot of others have said, forget print, it's a loser, you're going to lose money. We've said, no, we want print, we're going to keep a foot in the water, and we're going to hopefully survive this and ride this out to a day when people want print publications again. And I happen to think a lot of people do want print publications. But in the meantime, picking up in the late 1990s, early 2000s, the magazine went online, and it's spectator.org. And you can go there every day and see, on average, about a half dozen to a dozen articles per day. We don't want too many articles up there, because I think when you get too much content, it can be a sense of overload for the reader. So I'd rather that the reader go there and find a half dozen really substantive, weighty, thoughtful pieces than go up there and see 20 or 30 pieces, some of them seeming like kind of fluff, just a few hundred words, and you don't get much of a takeaway from it. So we've tried to make a really strong footprint there online.
And now you are the editor-in-chief. Actually, I believe, if I'm not wrong, the first person since R. Emmett Tyrrell, Bob Tyrrell, to hold that title. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I was greatly honored. Bob Tyrrell asked me in early in 2022 if I would be his successor to the publication. And I was kind of blown away, really humbled by that. I mean, I grew up in the 1980s, late 1980s. I was my campus newspaper perspectives page editor at the Pitt News, University of Pittsburgh. We published 4 days a week. And me and other conservatives on my staff, we all read R. Emmett Tyrrell Jr. We all read The American Spectator. So for him to ask me, it was quite an honor. I had been writing for the magazine going back to the early 2000s. I became at one point kind of almost like the de facto historian for the magazine. In fact, Tyrrell called me their court historian. He said, "Our Tacitus," as he put it. So I started not just writing articles covering different history of Spectator, but I also started writing the history of the American Spectator, which is an unpublished manuscript that I'm working on right now, and I'll hopefully get that published in the next couple of years. And so Tyrrell knew that no one knew more about the magazine than him and Volody Plezinski, who's been there since 1980. Other than them, he knew that I knew more than just about anybody. So he understood that. He liked working with me, felt I was easy to work with, and that I had a good sense for the magazine and promotion and editorially, and we were simpatico at so many different levels, that he asked me if I would be his successor, and I said, of course. I'm honored, I'm humbled, and I'd love to do it.
Dr. Paul Kangor of the American Spectator, their new editor-in-chief. Also, you hear his commentaries regularly right here on American Radio Journal. Paul, congratulations on the new position. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thanks so much, Loman. Anytime.